For 11/16/11, it's Skyrim Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
I'm Kevin.
How you doing, guys?
Doing all right.
What have you been up to?
Basically entirely Skyrim.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I went to a Skyrim-themed wedding.
Yeah?
Yeah, the bride dressed as a dragon and the groom dressed as a wooden plate with a loaf of bread on it.
Dressed as a horker loaf?
Yeah. No, the justice of the peace was dressed as a horker loaf.
I have not played Skyrim at all. No. I flew to Georgia and I photographed a wedding and I sat on a porch and had a mint julep.
Even though it was wintertime.
Yeah, it was chilly but not cold.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have like a mint julep Mr. Misty? I hear they sell those at Dairy Queen in Georgia.
I did not.
You can get a daiquiri.
It was the fall colors in Georgia were amazing, like better than I had ever seen, like in the Northeast.
They have different colors down there than they do here.
They don't run
because of the segregation.
Yeah, there was this awesome statue outside of the courthouse where the wedding was that was a testament to the men of the Confederated States of America and talking about how they weren't wrong and how the truth shall endure.
Oh my.
And yeah, it was. It's. I should have taken photos of all the different inscriptions on it and stuff like that. But it was labeled CSA down at the bottom, 1861 to 1865.
All those people vote.
Yeah,
it's awesome. How did you find Georgia? Other than that,
it was really nice.
I guess we were just in Georgia.
Yeah,
like 3 months ago.
Yeah, I was just outside Atlanta.
I don't think Atlanta counts as Georgia though.
I think it does.
You think?
Yeah,
I don't think it does.
Still Georgia. I was in Decatur.
A lot of people dressed as characters from Mass Effect 2 at this wedding?
No, there were not.
Okay. Was anyone dressed as Uriel Septim?
I don't know who that is.
Urinal Septim. No. It's like when you have a urinal that's divided in two so that two people can pee in it at once.
No. Good. Yeah. But there's a ton of stuff that we've been talking about to play in. Planning to talk about
all I have done since the last time we recorded a show was go to a wedding and play Skyrim.
I know, but you have like a million things to say about Skyrim.
That's so true. Well, so let's around for half an hour before we get to the Skyrim section.
What I'm saying is let's just cut to the chase.
Okay.
Okay then.
You've been playing things that weren't Skyrim. You had some stories.
Yeah.
You should go first.
So, I mean, I tried out that Triple Town that you talked about on the show.
I played a bunch
show.
More of that, too.
It is fun, and I enjoy it, but I spent so much time thinking about each of my moves that, like, I played a single game of it, and it took 2 hours.
Oh, is that the one with, like, Tetris bushes?
It's not really Tetris bushes, but it's, like, you three of something makes a thing, and then four or five makes a higher point version. Yeah. And you can like keep
columns, but
it was really, it was really dissatisfying.
Berries.
I was like, cause you turn the bears into church, into tombstones and then churches and then cathedrals. And then
do you
flips over
a bear.
You don't
cathedral.
You don't, it flips over and that just turns into gold. Yeah. But then I was getting pretty excited cause the grass turns into bushes, which turns into trees, which turns into like a
cottage.
A cottage, which turns into a house.
Or a berry cottage.
Which turns into a mansion, which turns into a castle. And then if you can get three castles together, you get like a castle floating on a little floating island.
Ooh.
But I never got that far.
I've only ever gotten one castle. Somebody please let me give you a goddamn dollar so that I can own this game and play it.
But I think their whole model is that they want you to like get excited about it and then give them $10 a week.
Right, but I'm saying that in this particular case, the case of me wanting to play this game, it's not going to work on me.
Well,
because this is not a game that I'm willing to subscribe to for $5 a month. This is a game that I would gladly give them a dollar if they would let me play it. Apparently, you can buy this game for the Kindle.
Yeah, but maybe it's also a subscription game. Who knows? I don't know. And then the only other thing I've had time to play in the past couple of days was the in-flight trivia on the on the Delta flight that I took, which it turns out I am 95% sure it was written by Brits, because almost all of the sport questions, first of all, the category was sport and not sports.
Okay.
Much like maths and not math.
Okay.
But almost all of them were questions about cricket. And then they had a question that was like the answer was like the Emmys or whatever, or like an Emmy, and they compared it to the BAFTA, and I was like, okay, this has clearly got to be Brits.
The Borth American Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah. But so when you would answer a question, it would give you, there'd be on the screen, it would be like correct answer, and then it would list the correct answer, and then it would be in case you're interested, which, you know, 8 times out of 10 was like some sort of like relatively interesting little factoid about the answer or whatever. But sometimes I think they just forgot to write stuff. You know, like one of them, I took some screenshots with my phone. And I'll try to post one of them to the Twitter after the show so that you can see. So like one of them, the correct answer was the McCoys. And then it said, in case you're interested, the McCoys. And then there was a correct answer that was Tom Jones. And it said, in case you're interested, Tom Jones is the name. And then my favorite one, which I unfortunately did not get a picture of, it was correct answer, Matisse. In case you're interested, Matisse, Matisse, Matisse.
It's a good thing it wasn't Duran Duran. It would have taken forever.
So yeah, so I appreciated that. My girlfriend and I were consistently like just decimating everybody else. That's not even a real thing. We were just dominating.
You were literally scoring 10% more points than they were. It was a bloodbath.
You were murdering 1 out of every 10 of these people.
Yes. That's why this podcast is from jail.
It's weird. You're the only one on the other side of the. You've got the little phone that's just connected to the other phone.
So that's what I've been playing, and you guys have been playing a little bit of Skyrim. I hear.
Yeah.
I don't think I actually played any other games than Triple Town, Triple City,
Triple Town.
I was referring to it on the last podcast as Tri-City.
Oh, would you? Oh yeah, you are.
Because normally we occupy the Tri-City area. Right. Everyone lives in a Tri-City area. All towns come in threes now. But I got to my first point where it was like, oh, you're out of moves. Would you like to buy some more moves? No, I wouldn't.
Oh,
I guess
that
I'll
sucks.
Just stop playing for now. Oh, man, did we forget to...
No, I was going to say that for the end. Okay. But you can...
All right. Fucking Skyrim.
It's pretty good.
I think I have 25... I was at that wedding, and so I didn't even get to start playing it until Sunday. Mm. But I'm 25 hours in.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
25 hours
in? Hitting
a
lot of things with swords.
Yep.
And blocking a lot of things with shields.
That's
and selling a
lot of things.
A full-time
job.
I've got a dining room table piled high with dragon bones and dragon scales.
Are you afraid that they might just spontaneously reanimate into some sort of skeletal dragon?
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because then I can
Isn't
steal
that
its
the
soul.
Point? Yeah. I've been walking around with a lot of dual-wielded daggers, been sneaking around, arrowing people in the head from a mile away and getting that 3x backstab damage.
Wait, 3x?
It's 3x for a bow with the correct
backstab
perk.
Backstab with a bow?
Yeah, well, shoot from stealth with a bow gives you 3x damage if you've got the right perk, and... stealth hit with a dagger gives you 15x damage if
that's
you've got
that.
That's
a lot of X's.
Pretty good.
You move real slow. That's a plus.
Move kind of slow, but you know, it's
You have traversed almost every video game world at half or quarter speed.
I am a regular stealth sniper type player.
Yeah, can't stand it.
Yeah, I think that would drive me crazy.
Tolerate that speed.
I find a house or a building that I'm going to destroy, and I sneak around it for a long time, kill everybody in it, and then spend the next couple of hours gathering every movable object in that building into a central chest near the door so that I can fast travel back and forth to my house and carry everything out.
Oh, so in Fallout 3, I had the big heart-shaped bed in the middle of the room covered with deathclaw hands.
Mm-hmm.
You had the room filled with whiskey.
Teddy bears.
I had every teddy bear I ever found piled up on the bed, and the room that my dog lived in was filled with bottles of whiskey and boxes of deviled eggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've just got books on bookshelves. Mm-hmm. That's my creative thing that I'm doing.
I hear you set up your apartment real nice when you first got your house.
I bought the house and bought all the furniture, and I went back in, and basically I put a bunch of stuff in the storage containers. I'm like, all right, now I'm figuring out how I'm gonna keep everything in here for the rest of the time that I'm playing this game. Like, this is where my alchemy ingredients go, and this is where my food goes. And then as I was about to leave, I hit the wrong button and used, like, Battle Cry, which was this Nord racial ability that, in this case, just knocked everything off of every shelf in the house. So now, even upstairs, like, the floor is just littered with everything that used to be on top of the scenery objects. And, like, picking stuff up and putting it on top of other things seems way clumsier in Skyrim than it did in Fallout.
Could
Gray.
You
I
not
might
just put
be imagining
it
that?
Back in your inventory and restack it as you had the first time?
You could, but it's sort of hard to, like, that's the thing. If you put something in your inventory and drop it, it will always be right side up, at least, which is the main problem that I'm having. I wish there was some way you could rotate an item that you were holding on to. I guess most people just don't care.
I had that problem a lot. The only scenery object I've gotten around to actually placing somewhere in my house at the moment, because the only thing I'm really collecting right now is books, and I've just been stacking, I've just been throwing them all in a chest. But I found
you can put there's an interface on bookshelves to actually.
I only have one bookshelf and it's full.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's weird. The bookshelf will say it's full, and then you'll be like, "But there's only half. That shelf is only half full, and the one on the bottom has no books on it."
Well, the two shelves are separate.
Oh, do they operate independently? Yeah.
But I found this. I found this really pretty golden statue of some like fertility goddess or something. I was like, "Oh, awesome! I'm gonna put this on the coffee table," and managed to get it standing on the coffee table in the first try, but it was facing the wrong way.
Oh, no.
So in the process of trying to get the statue to actually face the correct direction, it took me so many tries just waving it around in the air, trying to get it to rotate to face the right way, and then getting it right, and then going to put it down, but because depth perception is so poor in this game, I'd drop it like 6 inches in front of the table and it would just bounce off the floor.
Yeah, most of the time when I try to put anything on a piece of furniture, I pretty consistently get it just in front of the piece of furniture and it just falls down.
So could you have not picked it up and then just walked 180 degrees around the table and then put it back down again?
The furniture situation with the chairs on either side of the table made that kind of a tricky prospect.
You know, no one is ever going to see this stuff, Riff.
Like, I know.
It's
well, you guys are. You're going to see it every time you guys go back to your house.
Well, yeah, we'll see it.
Sure, there's some value in
this. Jenny's been watching
there.
Me play a lot, so I get to show this stuff to her.
I found all kinds of crazy like power cores for Dweamer Centurions today. That was pretty cool. That'll be it. They have like these glowing, spinning red police light things on them, so I'm going to use those to make my house extra creepy. Yeah, every time I walk into the house, the girl that I leave there because I don't want her getting in the way of every door I try to walk into is like, "What are you doing?" Because every time I walk in, I just kick a bunch of cups and shit across the floor.
Every time I go to visit the Jarl, I snag one of the goblets off of his table. But I figure...
Do they replenish?
No. Huh. But they're all mine because they're labeled
stealing.
In white.
Well,
they
probably
they
weren't until you gained
me.
Favor with him. I did a quest for the Jarl in that city that's on the big arch across like
is
Solitude.
It Jarlsberg?
Yes, it is okay. The city of Jarlsberg.
All right.
So I did a quest in there, and I had actually looked around and everything was marked like it read like you're stealing it if you take it. But then after I like helped them, I don't even remember what the quest was. I think I killed one of the vampires with the same name as the town. That was where I stopped the wolf people from the cultists from summoning the wolf lady, which was
this episode is going to be full of spoilers,
which was really awesome, by the way. But
are these really spoilers when you speak in such abstract terms?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know that
you go to a town and then the people in the town say, "Hey, can you help us with something in a nearby cave?" And then you go help them with a thing in the nearby cave. So then everything in there becomes stuff that I can just take, right? Since I'm now on their good side, except in one treasure chest, there were like 5 items, and one of them, which was a bear pelt, was still red. All right, now you are officially a Thane of Solitude. You can have whatever you want from anywhere in the palace except this one bear pelt.
Do the linen wraps or the pelts do anything?
The
are
pelts can be turned into leather. The linen wraps, things? I don't know.
You've got to be able to craft them into clothes or something.
I think, though, like so Fallout 3, I'm trying to remember in Fallout 3, like, were there a lot? There were a bunch of objects that were inventory objects that you could like pick up and have in your inventory that had basically no purpose, right? Was it the case that anything that had no purpose could be used as ammo for the rocket, for the junk gun?
That's true, I think, okay. Yeah.
Because, I mean, everything else, like the food you could eat, mm-hmm. right, the cleanser, there was a guy that would trade you money for it to make drugs or something. Like,
and most of the useless stuff could be used as some kind of crafting ingredient.
There was somebody somewhere that wanted it. And I think that it might be the case that almost everything that drops... That was the thing that really bothered me about Oblivion. There was a ton of stuff that you could pick up that just didn't do anything. That's like, why let me pick this up, you know?
Yeah. Does it have a value? Can you sell it?
Yeah, but it's not worth carrying around.
Yeah, most... And like, almost... Every now and then you'll run into like...
Because you'll carry everything.
Well, no, I don't want to make 40 trips, so I
narrow it
down.
What you got to do is you got to go up into the mountains and find that stone that gives you the blessing that's like, heavy armor doesn't slow you down, and you can carry an extra 100 cubits of weight. I don't know what the unit is that they're using. Parsecs. You can carry another 100 parsecs of weight. But yeah, I was noticing a little bit, like... This is a little weird to me. It seems like all of the dungeons have picked up the like World of Warcraft instance trick where it's a big linear dungeon and the end boss is conveniently like 10 feet from the front door behind just, a one-way passage.
Behind a one-way passage or a door that you can't unlock without a key which the boss is holding or something
there's a balcony that you have to jump off of that you can't jump up onto or whatever.
That annoys you?
It doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It's a little thinking about it, like looking at the maps, it's like, man, this is video game. Like looking at the map of I'm in this ancient temple that is just like, this was apparently a temple to the snake god because like every other temple in this world because they're all laid out like snakes.
The one time there's a dungeon that Jenny ran through and we were surprised because we couldn't find the easy exit and she ended up leaving the long way. I feel like a couple of years ago, that wouldn't have been a surprise because we wouldn't have been expecting that.
Yeah.
That simple.
Do you actually have to lead through the door? You can't just like fast travel out of somewhere?
You can't fast travel when you're indoors is the problem. So there are some places where the easy exit is literally just a balcony that's up in the mountains, but you're outside so you can fast travel.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason it's there.
Huh.
Which is kind of nice of them, I guess. Although, I don't know why... You can't fast travel from inside. There's got to be some good technical reason for it, I guess. Yeah. But like...
I mean, you could fast travel out of combats.
But you can't. You can't fast travel if there are enemies near you.
Okay.
So if there is any enemy that's aware of you, you can't fast travel even if you're outside. So.
Huh. I don't know.
Something that pisses me off every time it happens is having to wait to watch the guy swing the goddamn mining pick. Like everything else in the world, you just loot. Instantly, if you want to make something out of blacksmith forge, you just click the thing and you get the item.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, mining a vein of ore, you got to sit there and watch the guy swing his pickaxe.
Chopping firewood is like that too.
Oh, is it? I've never chopped any firewood. I didn't even know that was a thing.
You spent that time to move that log into
I was showing you that mill. They had implemented the log mill thing.
Do you know if that has any actual purpose?
The firewood?
No. The splitting logs in half in the mills.
Oh, I hadn't encountered that.
There's big piles of logs. You can go up and click on them to use them, and you will load one onto the saw and then turn the saw on, and cuts a log in half.
Oh, weird.
And then it's in a pile.
That's
of
how you sleep.
Half.
You literally saw logs. Yeah. I've been having fun with it, though.
Yeah?
I think I'm having fun. A lot of people are pissing and moaning about the interface on the PC version, and I don't really understand what... I think the people who are complaining about the, like, inventory and stuff interfaces... They also were talking about, like, Fallout 3 was also marred with a terrible interface. And, like, no, it wasn't. It was fine.
As an outside observer watching people play that game, I was like, oh, so this is a game about inventory management.
Fallout 3.
Yes.
But you didn't feel that way about this.
I didn't watch enough of it. But
I think you're just being a smartass, though.
No.
This is a game about ferns.
With Rift playing in particular, it was like, okay, this is clearly a game about inventory management. When I watched you play, you did spend several minutes being like, what in my inventory am I going to drop so I can pick up this other thing that I want slightly more?
Sure. Would you say that Diablo was a game about inventory management?
There was definitely a significant fraction of it.
It did have the Tetris.
Yeah. But is it a game about inventory management? Mm. That's what I'm saying. No, it is clearly a game about working at a diner.
Diner Oblo.
Diablo Dash.
So here is a thing. My girlfriend said she was talking about an experience that she thought was really satisfying in the video game, of course. I don't allow her to have satisfying experiences outside of video games. And this was weird because this mirrored a thing that I think Tycho wrote about Fallout 3 back in the day, where she was like, and I just found this house out in the middle of nowhere, and it wasn't part of a quest, it was just there, and that was awesome. Mm-hmm. And that got me thinking, why is that awesome?
And does she know it's not part of a quest that she just stumbled on without knowing the quest that was attached to it?
Yeah, I don't think that you can know that, right? Okay. But let's say that it was. I mean, there were things like that in Fallout 3. There were definitely locations in Fallout 3 that were just there to be there.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it seems like what is it about it not being part of the quest that makes that a satisfying experience? Because I feel like it'd be more satisfying if there was also something to do there.
Well, it makes the world more interesting. It makes it seem like there's stuff going on apart from you.
But is worldiness inherently good? I mean, the quests make it seem like there's stuff going on other than you, right? Like,
except for you're always the one doing the quests.
No, if the quest is like sent to take this letter from one place to another, it's like
that doesn't. But if the quest was watch all these other people do stuff, yeah, then maybe that would be a thing.
Sure, that's usually what. There's a lot of quests like that in Skyrim. It's like watch me floss the teeth of this gorilla.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't found that one yet.
The idea that there's stuff in the world that like does not revolve around you, I think, is part of where the satisfaction.
Yeah,
comes
but if
from.
It's just like a house, I mean, so would it be 1,000 times as awesome if there were 1,000 empty houses that weren't part of any quest? I mean. I don't understand what it is.
The specialness. It's like they went to the trouble to design and build a place that had detail and like objects and stuff like that, but it was not necessary, right? It was merely sufficient. it was like a reward for exploring, right? Like that's a neat thing. Like I remember being extremely psyched when I found that like face in the mountain peaks on the mini map in World of Warcraft by like climbing up into this sort of far corner, I think in the Badlands or something like that.
But
right?
I mean, you know what?
And that was like super cool.
But I think what would be a better reward for exploring is a reward, right?
Like that's what. But I think so. If we go to like the Bartle type of video game players, right, or of you know players in general or whatever, the explorers don't necessarily want diamond type of rewards. They want to find something and know about something that nobody else knows about.
Yeah, sure.
Right. They want to figure out the secrets of the world and like finding something that's cool and secret and like that's like just for you, you know, is kind of really satisfying.
One thing that I've learned about myself in playing video games is that I don't really like going to a town with 100 buildings in it, all of which have things going on in them. Like, I would almost prefer for my RPG towns to just be a series of menus. Like,
well, you don't want option paralysis, right? Like, you don't want to, and you hate navigating spaces.
That's true. I do hate navigating spaces, and so spaces that are like all made of similar buildings, sure, are like, oh god, where the fuck am I? I don't even know like where any of these. I'm basically if I could play just on the mini map when I'm in towns like that, I totally would.
Watching my girlfriend play Fable 3 is sometimes just baffling because the towns are like, I think you can go into every building and they're all different and they all have stuff in them. And it's like, I don't know how you're supposed to learn where everything is because there are dozens and dozens of towns and stuff. And it's just
yeah,
like,
I don't,
super
for
frustrating.
For whatever reason, like I don't mind that number of options and that number of things to do if they're all spread out over a wilderness, like one log cutter's cabin at a time. But
concentrate them into a town.
Yeah, put them in a town, and it's just like, ah, man, I need to get like beat up by a squirrel in between these things to recharge my batteries.
I mean, I remember being kind of baffled by the large towns in World of Warcraft when the first time I encountered them.
Because there's only like 4 things in there that you give a shit about
at any given time. Yeah, like, you know, there's probably a dozen things overall.
When I was playing WoW again last week, when I finally got to Darnassus, the elf city. It was really confusing there. And I
it's that one is particularly spread out, too.
Yeah, it's really spread out, and the buildings all kind of look alike. And I mean, first of all, they're signs, so if you're watching, you can get the little
little rollovers. And
yeah, and you ask guards, and they'll put a map point up for you.
Guards are getting harder to find, in my experience.
But just looking at it, it's really puzzling.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did they sparsenate the guards?
I think they just put more shit in there that isn't guards. And there's more just dudes walking around and stuff. Undercity, it was fucking bewildering.
Yeah.
That was, like, deliberately confusing. I mean, like, it got to the point where it felt like the cities were designed to be deliberately confusing.
I like that there was, a back secret entrance to Undercity. Yeah,
those sewers. Cool. Yeah. I think that was mostly there for the sake of the flight path. So there's a bat, because bats can't ride elevators.
Yeah.
Bats are also terrible at elevator action.
Oh,
but really good at Mappy, strangely enough. I don't know. I also got to thinking about whether there is any benefit to a day-night cycle in a video game. Because most of my interaction with the day-night cycle in Skyrim is the same as it was in Fallout 3, which is standing outside a shop until it's fucking 8:30 in the morning. And it's like,
I have found a few weapons that depend on whether or not the moons are out.
So I was watching you play. And I was like, what the fuck is going on with your graphics? These are driving me fucking crazy. And you're like, what are you talking about? And we figured it out. It was the sun incrementally moving across the sky. Like every 20 seconds, it moves to a new notch and all the shadows change.
Yeah. It doesn't move. It doesn't update often enough to move smoothly. Yeah. It moves smoothly in these stages. And it was weird. I had never noticed it before. But then we started looking and it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was driving me nuts watching him play.
Man, now I'm gonna be seeing it.
Yeah, it's probably like that cigarette burn thing where now that you know about it, you're screwed.
No, you know, I don't think so, because I think watching someone play
is a different thing.
Yeah, sure. It's like looking at a screenshot versus playing the game. It's like you can see something, you're like, oh wow, this is really pretty, and then a screenshot is like, wow, that doesn't look cool at all.
Right,
right. But it's like because you're paying attention to a bunch of different things at once,
you get like you also get much more of a sense of the worldliness of it, right? Like, because I mean, that's how I can watch somebody say, and this is clearly a game about inventory management, when that's clearly not what the game's about, but that's what I'm seeing all the time, even though to you it's just this momentary distraction.
And I mean, you point out that I don't do a good job of actually clearing out my inventory before I go out again.
Yeah.
And so also I just like keeping a lot of stuff, you know? Because I'm like, I sort of picked this. So I'm doing like the regular sword and shield guy, which seems to be what the game encourages you to do. Although maybe I just feel that way because that's what I wanted to do.
So I've been doing
I started with some spells, but didn't realize that I had them. I had no idea that I knew spells to begin with, and so I don't know where that came from.
You get a couple spell books off of the mage corpse in the first dungeon that you escape from.
Huh.
When they teach you about lockpicking.
Is the starting area the same with every
any of that?
I mean, maybe it's different for each race or something.
No. I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Wait, but how is it not different for each race?
The only difference is if you choose. Well, the reason it's not different for each race is because the way your character starts out is having been caught as a suspected rebel and being taken to the head chopping block. The only way that this intro differs is when you get saved, you can choose to follow either the rebel guy or the imperial guy when you're running away.
Wow, I didn't know that I was being given that choice.
Yeah. It says in the quest that follow either X or Y.
Oh,
into
I know, but
keep.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I just went with the guy that happened to be that I happened to see where he was standing and could therefore follow.
Yeah, that's why I did the guy that looked like me.
Yeah.
Which one was that? Rebel or?
I have no idea.
Huh.
The dungeon is exactly the same after that. Okay. I think there might be a couple enemies in there that turn out to be either rebels or guards, depending on who you're with.
Okay.
But after that, whichever one you pick, they lead you to the same town.
I'm beginning
because
to think
both
that
these guys have a relative that lives in that town. Yeah.
I'm beginning to think that I have no idea what's going on ever.
Hmm.
That's what I'm beginning to think.
It seemed like you weren't sure which faction was which and stuff like that when I was watching.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I don't have a good sense of like what I don't have a good sense of the story and the different characters' motivations in it.
There's a war of some sort, and
some people are pissed for different reasons.
The Empire
has come back to Skyrim and decided that they're no longer allowed to worship Talos, and so all of these shrines of Talos have been removed or whatever. And the Stormcloaks are insurrecting to bring back the old Nord ways to Nord. To Norbit.
And then there's something about some treaty that the elves have with the Imperials, which is why the religion got canned, and I don't know. I can't keep track of any of it.
Yeah. We were talking about this. I've read any book.
Yeah.
Ever, clearly.
I've skimmed through a few of them that look like they might be funny. Like, there's one that's a guide to killing trolls that's a little bit amusing, but for the most part, I have not been bothering.
And, I mean, I wonder why, like, so my theory on why the world of Fallout 3 was so much more compelling than this world is not that post-apocalypse is inherently more interesting than fantasy, but that, like, Fallout 3 is based on a bunch of stuff that you know what it is, like a bunch of real-world stuff. And this is, like, thousands of generations of history, all of which they just made up, and it's got, like, a different name for dwarf than dwarf.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, yeah, I don't care about any of the lore.
So, I mean, is that why fantasy sort of comes back to the same tropes? Because to make it familiar, we just have to rely on stuff that we've all seen before?
I mean, I think it's that same question. Is like, why can't you make, why aren't there more successful sci-fi RPGs? And, I mean, there's probably any number of reasons that that's the truth. But, like, in a sci-fi game, you have to make up the names of everything because you're extrapolating
forward
technology that doesn't exist, and so you have to explain it all. And I'm sure there is a way to do it, right? I mean, the way that Star Wars dealt with it was by, oh, this technology is a gun, this technology is a sword,
right?
Right, and they don't really get into, like, they explain right away, oh, hyperspace is a thing that makes the stars turn into stripes and you go real fast, right? Just like America, stars and stripes and going fast. But they don't really get into it, right? Like, you can look in the West End, you know, Greg Costigan's RPG source book and learn all kinds of things about interdictor cruisers and how they do these mass projections to make the astrogation computers not, you know, be afraid that you're going to go through a meteor in hyperspace or whatever. But, like, they didn't actually decide any of that, right? Like, Lucas didn't, at least. I mean, they just...
He hints at it, right? Like...
But I don't think I think he was... He was revealing exactly as much information as was necessary to tell a story, and then everybody else filled in all these details, right? And if you had presented all of the details to begin with, it would have been a really off-putting story. But since the story was put first...
But you could do either way, right? You could decide all the details and then only reveal the ones that are necessary for the story, but then they definitely hang together. Or you can sort of just throw stuff around and then they might not hang together in the end.
Which I think is probably more often than not what gets done. That with fantasy, everybody knows what a sword is. Everybody understands, like, oh,
but
that
magic,
guy...
But magic is a variable in there.
Yeah, but
a
it's, almost always, a approached in a very similar way, like, oh, who's that guy that can make balls of fire that he throws at those dudes?
Also, it sounds like everybody
goblins? I know what a goblin is.
Everybody in Skyrim can do magic if they want.
Yeah, apparently. Every player character, at least. Every dragonborn.
What does dragonborn mean?
That's you.
No, I know, but what does it mean?
I don't know. Your mom fucked a dragon.
Yeah, you can shout.
When you keep all these dragon bones around.
Yeah. My mom might come over.
Yeah.
Hey, look what I got you. Yeah, man, I don't know. I just don't care. I don't care about any of the lore in Skyrim. Like, I care about the places. It's like, ooh, ancient dwarf ruins. Yeah, I guess dwarfs used to live here. These dwarf ruins are cool. There's steam pipes and robots.
Yeah, and chests that don't look like chests.
Yeah, and I can melt the robots. And then every once in a while you run into those, like, bug to Falmer dude things where all of their doors are just bugs that are shaped like doors. And you tickle the door's butt and it opens or something. And So
coming back to World of Warcraft, because I always do, I think they did something that was really nice, which was, you know, you start off in the world and everybody starts off in different places. So there's, like, different lore that you're, you know, sort of presented with. And then the story, at least in the vanilla game, converges on a single storyline that is interesting, right?
Which was like the Rin and the being like ousted and replaced with Onyxia? Is that
the... No. The vanilla was the leading up to the bugs, like the
Silithids.
Yeah.
Huh.
Right, because like all that was in vanilla WoW, and then
yeah, but so was all the there was like the dead mines were about the like the leader of the Masons Guild or whatever,
but
and the
Horde didn't interact with that. But on both sides of the Horde,
so
Horde
like
Alliance.
Just the 1-60 progression, yes. Just took you to Silithus,
yes.
In both cases where yeah. There was a big war going on against,
yeah.
The okay,
right, and that was interesting, right? So they present you with something, and like you become familiar with a world, and then you start to notice these weird things in the world, and it leads you into like a further place where things are different and like can be creepy.
That's true. I remember like going to Ungaro Crater and encountering the Silithids for the first time and being, whoa, what the fuck is?
And there was like a little bit of stuff in the Barrens, like especially as Horde. I think you get,
yeah, because you're on the same continent for more of the time if you're Orc at least.
Yeah.
And so how do we get on that?
Well, because I was saying that, like, so I think you can have like a fantasy world that like presents something that's alien, right?
You have to do it slowly. You have to let people get invested in it. You know, I'm sure that these books are interesting for a real particular flavor of video game nerd who also read all the books in Oblivion and Morrowind, yeah. Right? But like, I don't know. They're also badly written, like.
I wish the writing was better.
So here's the thing. In Fallout, you were reading like an email from some middle management guy at a factory, yeah. To his underlings, which it doesn't matter if it's badly written, because most emails like that are badly written. Like, in this, everything that you're reading is a fucking epic poem, and it's like, you know what? I even skipped the good epic poems
in the real
like
world.
Lord of the Rings or whatever. Like, you know, what possible incentive do I have to read this thing? You know, but I still pick up all the books because they skill you up. They unlock yep. quests, which I thought was a cool touch. Yep. Feeling a little quest thick.
Got a lot of quests in that miscellaneous drawer.
Yeah, yeah. I got a lot not in the miscellaneous drawer. Like, so just piles
here's
and
a question.
Piles of and you can't abandon them. You can't.
Yeah.
Do
like,
you
find out about the Thieves Guild and it's like, find a way to join the Thieves Guild. And I'm like, but I'm a warrior.
Well, here's the question. Do you... Are you not completing them because you don't want to, or are you not completing them because you...
You acquire them faster than you can complete them.
Even if you were, like, single-minded?
Maybe not.
Because I can definitely imagine...
Maybe if you only ever... So, okay, but the thing is, the first time you have a quest that you get there and there's a thing that you can't kill, you gotta go do something else.
Yeah.
And that
sure.
Going to do something else... invariably involves picking up 30 new quests.
Is it,
yeah,
but maybe,
especially if you're going off the beaten trail. I suspect that if... As soon as I had the option to, like, as soon as I've gotten to the first real city and encountered my first dragon and did all the stuff that makes you become Thane right away in that town, then it sets you free. And naturally, my first reaction is to ignore the quest they gave me then and
yeah.
Go find something else.
So what I was listening to the Giant Bomb guys talk about this, and it kind of made me want to just do the main quest line because
right.
They said finishing it gives you a bunch of cool abilities and doesn't really change the way the world is at all. He said there are some
okay.
Very subtle changes, but it's not
so
like
you can keep playing.
You can
after
keep playing.
Okay.
There's like not even an ending apparently.
Well,
like,
here's the question: does it lock out some of the content? Because
apparently not.
Other games often do.
Yeah,
Fallout.
Not.
Yeah, the Fallout,
Fallout
did.
Fallout very much did, but I think they might have learned their lesson from that, and they've realized that like we can't discourage people from playing the main quest line. Because I never finished New Vegas, like because I didn't finish it because I wasn't done doing all of the shit that didn't involve the main quest line. But my understanding is that in Skyrim you should just beat it and then you can just keep doing all of the shit that you're doing now.
It seems
awesome.
You guys, yeah, like watching people play, it seems like you guys are just sort of wandering around aimlessly, just
but you're,
doing
it's not,
shit.
It's not aimlessly. You walk around
it's
and
not
you, see,
aimlessly.
You see the map icon that's like, ooh, ruins.
Yeah,
let's
there's
go see
a ruin
what's in
over
there.
Or else you're like, you look at your giant list of quests and say, okay, which one of these has a map marker that's reasonably close to where I am?
Yeah.
And you go do that.
To me seems random. It's like, oh, what's on the map? Oh, that looks interesting. Like, that just...
Yeah. I think there's even.
So it's random. But would you say that we randomly eat lunch every day? I mean, no. Maybe. You just do whatever you're in the mood for. You eat whatever.
Apparently, the paper mat
today.
That
I have a quest to go to Taco Bell.
Has some little marks on it that actually represent things in the world that you otherwise might not find.
Huh.
I haven't investigated that, but that is what I've heard.
I will periodically find a thing that is not a map marker. There's a lot of those weird, like, just weird round pedestal things that are, you know,
scattered
five dude lengths across. Just little, like, round stone, like, pads. Huh. Like landing pads for helicopters.
I must not have discovered one of those.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of them. And they're not. There's no map marker for them or anything. Occasionally you'll find like some buildings or a little camp or something that's
doesn't
not,
have a marker.
Not a marker. Yeah. Pretty cool. I kind of want to stop doing this podcast so that I can play more of it.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We wouldn't do that to you. What's new, Kevin?
There's actually been a lot of stuff that happened this week that was sort of newsworthy. Probably the most relevant to our listeners is that Steam was hacked.
Yeah.
And they potentially got credit card numbers, although they were stored.
They were encrypted.
In an encrypted format.
They don't know if the encryption has been broken.
I'm being cautiously lazy about that. I'm going
to
assume.
By which you having me check every day to see if
Yeah. Well, that's
should,
delegation is one way of being
often.
Lazy.
Yeah, I guess they have my credit card number too. I guess I looked today by accident and I didn't see anything.
I mean, I figure worst case scenario, if your credit card gets stolen, is you say, my credit card got stolen, and then you don't have to pay for any of that shit. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like,
that's happened to me before. It's
yeah,
a little
it's
more
happened.
Elaborate than that, but it was reasonably painless.
It's happened to me too. Yeah. It is probably as much of a hassle as being really careful about looking over all of your shit every month, right? I mean, it's
interesting to me that a company as large and sort of well endowed as Valve had an intrusion.
You know something about Gabe Newell that I don't.
I do. Had a breach of this magnitude. I mean, I guess Sony, you know, which is even bigger.
I mean, banks are
them,
getting hacked.
Them
left
being
and right, right?
Them yeah. being like, big makes them a target. Right?
Sure,
but it's also, I mean, like padlocks, which are good for keeping honest people out, you know, software is designed to work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that allows people, the primary goal.
Letting people in to do stuff.
Yeah.
But it sounded like they were doing the right thing with, like, how they were storing their data for the most part, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think the best you can do is make it so an intrusion is not a big deal. I think the insurance is worth more than better locks,
right?
Because you, no matter how good your lock is, you've always got a window that somebody can break if they're sufficiently.
That's true.
That's true. You know.
Then Adobe basically announced that they are killing their Flash for mobiles, for mobile platforms.
I don't think that is actually a particularly meaningful story.
Well,
what I read was that they're focusing on allowing like Air or whatever to let you make native executables instead of trying to run Flash, which I feel like that's just better, right? Like writing an iOS toolkit for converting Flash into something that's going to run natively in iOS is way better than trying to like run it in an emulator.
I hope it becomes real good so that we can put our next game on iPad.
Yeah, there's already basically the ability to do that, right?
Yeah, theoretically.
But the easier it becomes, is the better.
There are all kinds of problems that we'll have to, you know, interface stuff that we'd have to.
Oh yeah, but I mean that's not Adobe's fault, right?
No,
like,
I know.
Like it's the fact that the game we've designed the game to be played with a mouse.
But I wonder if that's part of the issue is like Flash is designed to be used with a mouse and a mobile device doesn't have an input that's like a mouse, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know what we need? iMouse.
Yeah. And then a Japanese MMO called M2 was doing a backup and deleted all of the data in an unrecoverable way.
Did they delete it while they were doing a
they
backup?
They were in the process of trying to back up the data and deleted it.
That similar thing happened to a game called Kingdom of Loathing a few years ago. And,
yeah. But they to the point where they are just shutting down.
Yeah. That sucks.
Which that's really depressing that can happen. You know, they were trying to do their due diligence and done it wrong. everything is just crazy. What is the name of that game?
Modern Warfare 3?
Yes. What is Call of Duty?
COD Blops.
COD Blops. So Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 on its first
cod swallop
first day, sold codpiece more in like sold more than any other entertainment product in the history of the world.
Like more dollars.
Says something more because dollar. Every review of it by anyone whose opinion I respect has basically said it's
not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was $400 million first day sales, which blows away any other movie or video game ever released.
So, yeah. I mean, still not going to play it.
Sure. No. It's Activision's
This isn't a podcast where we talk about only the latest 10 plus million dollar blockbuster.
That's true. Activision Blizzard's like largest franchise.
How did Skyrim do, by the way?
I don't know.
It was nuts. The Steam stats for it, like five times as many at any given moment in the last like week, five times as many people have been playing Skyrim as the next most popular game, like, which was Team Fortress 2 in every case. When I looked.
Not Binding of Isaac.
No, surprisingly. Although, you know, I have taken the occasional break from Skyrim to play more Binding of Isaac.
Oh, yeah,
because it's still just fucking good.
Speaking of other sales, the 3DS is on track to outsell the original DS in terms of first-year sales.
It's pretty surprising.
Well, so what I read was that the price drop has boosted sales tremendously. Mm-hmm. That they more than tripled the sales.
Now we just need a couple good games.
I am got Super Mario 3D Land waiting for me when I get home.
Oh yeah.
I think it was supposed to be delivered yesterday. This is the first time Amazon has ever failed.
Let me know how it is, and if you think I would hate it or not.
watching dudes play it, like videos on Kotaku or whatever, like it seems good. It seems like it's a you can't control the camera really, so I think it is more of a like 2D 3D hybrid.
Okay.
Sort of. Which makes me think that I'm gonna enjoy it.
There was a thing I read that was talking about how you kind of have to play it with the 3D on.
Really?
Yeah, because there are things that there will be like a picture of a power up painted on the wall.
Oh, but it's actually in 3D.
Yes, but so if you're looking at it in 3D mode, you can tell that's not a real object.
Wow.
But if you're looking at it in 2D, you can't.
I mean, you could jump at it and you'd be like, oh, well,
yeah,
I guess that's
yeah, but if you want to know ahead of time.
It's, it's just got 3D being a dick technology.
Yeah, yeah.
The Xbox is 10 years old, which I don't really have anything useful to say, but I think that's kind of interesting. I don't think of it as being something that would be...
Let's play some Mecha Salt.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Pass the Mecha Salt.
And then I saw this cool trailer for a game called Abobo's Big Adventure, which I think has been announced recently.
Is that Abobo is in Double Dragon?
Well,
I saw a thing about this like a year ago, and I don't remember what it was, but it was some woman who I don't think knew anything about video games, like a newscaster
talking about it. It's possible. Like the thing that I saw, I don't know how new it was, but they're like... the levels are like some people there's like beta levels that are out and stuff like that, and it's just like a dude who travels through all sorts of different retro video games. Like he's like, there's like a Mega Man level.
Is it licensed or is this just like a I want to be the guy?
I don't know.
I mean, it seems like press might be the worst thing for it.
I don't know if it's licensed or not. It looks pretty cool though.
Yikes.
Excuse me.
In other news, achoo.
So, and then in final news, I continued to search through my childhood stuff to try to find some more things that I could share with our loyal listeners. And I found another thing from when I was, I think I was 9.
From when student council was cool.
Yeah, when student council was cool. So I made this this Lego ship that I spent a lot of my childhood playing with. I still have that ship, actually. and I assigned a bunch of code names for it. So I was going to read some of the code names.
Okay.
So vehicle name was Courageous, but the vehicle code name, Condor. The shuttlecraft name, Firestar. Shuttlecraft code name, Firecracker. The robot name, because it was a ship that transformed into a robot. Robot name, Skybolt. Robot code name, Airwolf.
Nice.
The computer seat name... was Microcomp. Computer seat code name, Interface. And there's a bunch more. There's a whole sheet with like its weapons and stats and stuff like that. There's a.
So you have a lot of little circles there.
Well, yeah. So that's the speed. There's the average speed, which is the one with like.
Oh, you know, I see.
20 circles, and then the max speed. A couple lines later has like twice as many circles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are those just zeros? The average, yeah, the average speed is 9, and then it's like 9, you know, million, yeah, million.
But then you'll notice at the very end, it's to the power of 9,000,000,000.
I think maybe you added that in later because you were like, wait a minute.
I don't know. Yeah.
Cool. It's Airwolf.
Yeah, Airwolf. So. That was, yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
That was the news from 1985. Well, yeah,
and also I found a certificate where I was well on my way to becoming a math wizard.
Yeah, it was something was about to transform into some 7-league boots and let you run all the way to math mastery.
Yep.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Math wizards, guys. Assignment Farmville.
Yeah. So, Riff, I think you played it the most of all of us.
Yeah,
right. I was gonna seriously play it last night, but our internet was down, so I played Skyrim instead. And then today, when our internet was back up, I went and logged onto it, made a Facebook page, and played Farmville until I got sick of it, which was almost immediately.
Huh.
For some reason, I was gifted a crystal sheep,
yeah,
which is worth like
with one of those.
10,000 coins, so I just cashed it in for coins and bought a load of crap and discovered that it is basically just unashamedly a Skinner box with almost no entertainment to keep
you from
noticing.
It's not even like a Skinner box, right? There's no randomness involved.
There is.
Is there?
There is, yeah.
Plus, there's a raffle just about booth. Every single time you click, it pops up a thing asking you either to get your friends to play or buy some lottery tickets.
Once it popped up a dialogue box that says, hey, try our other game, Cityville, and it had one button, which was play Cityville, and no way to close it.
Yeah, you have to,
reload it. But luckily, the game reloads itself 90 or 100 times per play session.
Yeah. It is
so disgusting.
Super, super badly designed in terms of interface.
Yeah.
I was observing that I think using, like, I feel like Facebook in general is like this at this point. Like, I will go to Facebook and I can sit there for like a full minute just watching shit happen with no interaction from me at all. And this, and especially Farmville, makes me feel like I imagine somebody's grandmother feels like when they're first trying to use a computer, which is just terrified because all of this shit keeps happening that seems to be totally irrespective of anything that you're doing, and you're afraid that like hitting this button is going to send some message to everybody on your friends list or whatever.
I think, you know, it is going to send a message to everybody on your friends list. It's at the very least, it's going to send stuff. It's going to post stuff on your wall. Like, when I first like allowed, so I made a new account to play this game because there was no way in hell I was going to associate a Facebook game with my actual Facebook account. Not that
See,
I care.
If I cared about mine, I would have maybe done the same thing.
Yeah, but I just did not want all of my friends to like be constantly receiving bullshit updates about this or whatever. They require basic information, which includes your name, profile, picture, your user ID, your list of friends, and stuff like that. Which, whatever, they require that they are allowed to send you email. They have access to your profile information. Mm-hmm. They require access to information that people share with you, and then on by default, they can post to Facebook as you and publish your activity to other players, to other people.
It's hard for me to make any decisions when a game asks for permissions like that because I don't know what any of that stuff really means.
Yeah, it just seems like very invasive.
The thing is, here's what I imagine. Facebook just hurls so much random shit into your face all the time that I don't think it matters if you are doing something to your friends. Like, I think Facebook is just intrinsically so goddamned annoying at this point that nothing you can do even is a drop in the bucket of annoyance.
So sure. When the signal-to-noise ratio is all the way at the one end, you can't make it any worse?
I went pretty hard. I wanted to see, like, what progress I could make in a week, and I wanted to see, like, to really sort of invest some time in it to see what it was all about. To the point where, like, a lot of the stuff that that is on the tree of things to do in progress requires just a tremendous number of neighbors, right? Like, theoretically, they want you to have more of your friends playing or whatever. But there are,
I think I gave you a nail.
yeah, you probably gave me several nails. You can go to these groups of people that are playing this game and just add them all as friends, and then they will all become your neighbors. So you can get like these people that aren't actually your friends.
Huh. That is a violation of Facebook's terms of service at this point. Like, and they can delete your account for doing that.
Yeah, which go for
associating with people who you don't know in an effort to gain advantage in a game.
Yep.
is terms for removal of your account,
which is fine. You know, so I did that, and the amount of like game related spam is intense. Hmm. It is like people are constantly sending you messages and stuff like that, like to the point where like they'll post that they did something, and if you're just sort of like looking at your feed live of like news stories coming in, it'll be like, you know, somebody did this thing, and like there's on all of these things is a link to like get a goodie because you're a friend of theirs or whatever. And apparently it's limited to, some of them are limited to like one person per like posting.
Okay.
So like I would click on something that like somebody had posted like 8 seconds ago, and I was like, oh, that one's already expired. And I was like, what the hell? Like,
because somebody else took it? Or?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. It is really like they give you all kinds of hooks to just be playing it constantly if that's what you wanted to do.
Did you feel like after spending an hour on it, you had any idea what was going on?
The first probably day or two, I did not understand what was going on, but I like spent a bunch of time just reading all of the options of what was available and then experimenting.
Because I never really got to the point where I understood. There were some, like, you know, I bought a couple things that said they were free. Yeah. And then it turns out that they bought like a framework that then required me to either spend a bunch of that farm bucks currency to get the things.
Right. So you can either buy a finished one for a bunch of farm bucks currency, which you get one per level that you like as you level
up. Or you
up,
buy it, right?
I mean, or you buy it for cash. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the other way to build those things is by getting your friends to send you stuff. And so that what you do basically. So the way that works is you, like it says, you know, I need 4 nails, 4 bricks, and 4 wooden boards to build. Like the easiest thing to build is
the shittiest bookshelf.
it's a greenhouse. How those things turn into a greenhouse, I don't know. But you specifically ask for stuff, and you can ask.
But you
like,
use the nails to build a lightning rod. Lightning strikes the bricks and turns them into glass.
You can ask somebody for a nail, or you can ask somebody who's not yet playing Farmville for 3 nails. Yeah, you can. I don't know how often you can ask people for things, but I think you can help people arbitrarily often. It might be limited. Like, you can send somebody a gift once every 4 hours. So they might be able to only help you once every 4 hours.
How do you know that? How does the game tell
you
that?
The game tells you that at some point. Like, there are things that are like, you can, like, tip. You can send your friends a gift every 4 hours.
The ability of the game to tell me anything was so kneecapped by the inability of the game to stop trying to sell me shit.
There were some times where there were 4 or 5 layers of pop-up menu obscuring each other.
Yeah.
When I was playing. And it's not, the integration with Facebook is not particularly clean. There are places where clicking on a link will start a different app. Like, it takes you out of the Farmville app and starts some other app, which is like a gifting, like giving other friends gifts app.
There were things like, I noticed every time I clicked on one of the things from you, it was like, do you have other pending things? Yes or no? And no would actually load the game and let you take it.
Yeah.
But yet, because otherwise it would just be reloading the game every single, every single time.
Yeah.
This is so unfriendly for, like, so when I think of Farmville as a game for like middle-aged women, right? I cannot imagine the middle-aged woman that would tolerate this bullshit now, starting from zero. And I mean, maybe they're just not trying to get new users anymore. Maybe they're just trying to
There were a bunch of people that at least seemed to be new users in that little Facebook group that was like, you know, add me as a neighbor kind of stuff.
Hmm. I just want to shake those people and point them at the thousands of far, far better free games that are out there. And why are you playing this crap when there are so many interesting and fun games?
So I would have said they wanted a game that was simple, but Farmville is not simple. Farmville is bewilderingly complex, which was extremely surprising.
It depends on what you do, right? Like, if you're not afraid to click on stuff, it's not that complicated, right? Because you just like, it's very sandboxy. You get to like decorate a space, and there's all kinds of crazy decorations. They're like, I think that is their primary sort of mode of interest, is that like people build these crazy elaborate like farms, which have like these crazy buildings from all sorts of different like sort of seasonal events and stuff like that. You can get all kinds of different colors, sheep and different color chickens and stuff like that. Like you can get hay bales of all kinds of different colors and spread them all over your farm and make designs and like put fences up and all kinds of different buildings and stuff like that. You probably could make a cock and balls.
Nice.
I was tempted to when I stopped playing, like leave like fuck this game and crops that have withered on my thing, but I don't know if that's going to stay forever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it is an amazing number of sort of hooks into player psychology, because
it seems to have been very deliberately designed that way.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of like timers. The one sort of quasi positive thing that I felt like they did was that they let you decide on the timer duration. Like when you plant a field of seeds, you can decide on a timer that is 2 hours long or a timer that is 4 days long.
Really? I didn't see that.
Well, so there's all kinds of different seeds. Some of them grow to completion in 2 hours, mm-hmm. and some of them grow to completion in 4 days. And then you have however long it took them to grow that long again, where they're
mature
and harvestable. Mm-hmm. And then you have that long again where they start to wither. And by the end of that period, they'll all have withered. Mm-hmm. And the expectation is like halfway through that, the half of them will withered. So
I planted a bunch of stuff that was 1 day, and then I went back 2 days later and it was all withered. And I was just like,
And for five Farmville cash, you can just unwither all your crops.
Yeah.
You can unwither other people's crops. When you go to visit their farm, you can do like five actions on other people's stuff, so like fertilize their stuff.
Like per day? Or?
Per day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is fascinating to me the layers of complexity. There's, as you level up, more and more layers are added. Like at level 10 or 11, you start to be able to master crops, which unlocks additional, like better yielding crops. When you build a greenhouse, you can start like combining seeds to make like much, much more potent seeds. You can, at level 21, I unlocked co-op activities, which is like you basically undertake sort of farm quests to like grow particular crops and in a certain amount of time. And the faster you do it, like the more experience points and gold you get. And you get
help.
Can
you mix a grape and a cantaloupe to make a rape-a-lope?
I don't think so. No, I've been working on mixing strawberries and raspberries to make strassberries.
Cool.
Yeah.
Strassberry fields forever.
Yeah. I made a spreadsheet because I was curious like how they did their math, and either they have a bunch of stuff at the later levels that like uses the early stuff in ways that I don't understand, or it's really, really random. Like the best way to level is to use like the fairly quick crops and just sort of plow through them as often as you can.
You made a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I like making spreadsheets. But the best way to like earn gold is like a 12-hour crop for some reason until you unlock the really higher end stuff.
They had to have thought of this, right? Like, because I remember looking at the stuff in that like Undead Live game or whatever that you played for a while. There was a bunch of shit that just like no one should ever do.
Right.
Right.
Like the things that are clearly unoptimal.
And like it seemed to me like, well, they must have just chosen the numbers for these things at random. But like with Zynga, I don't believe that, because that's not evil enough for Zynga to have done.
My theory is that, I mean, you, in order to unlock certain crops, you have to plant like sort of a substandard version of them or whatever. And so people will
shitty
plant
radishes.
People will cabbages and super cabbage. Like everything's.
No, that's actually a hybrid of a shiitake mushroom and a radish.
There's long onions, which are leeks and onions. But I was hoping that it was like pork and onions. Okay. So people might just
can
plant
you,
stuff.
Can you
to
combine
get
a long
mastery.
Onion and a dickweed to get a long dick?
No.
Can you plant dickweeds on other people's farms?
I don't know. Maybe.
Great.
Yeah, like trying to be a completionist in this game, I think would be brutal.
Because it would cost you $100,000.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think so. One of our listeners, when we posted this as an assignment, sent me a note saying, you know, you can. It's actually not that bad for the first month or two or three. You can make some progress and you know grow your character and stuff like that. But after that, it gets to the point where easily half, maybe more, of the content is only accessible by giving them real world money. Hmm. A lot of the stuff that you get for the holiday, like the holiday specific stuff, is only purchasable with farm bucks or whatever that's called.
Cash. Even this week, there seem to be three or four different holidays going on.
Yeah, there's like that stupid fairy thing, which is like autumn. Yeah,
there was a
festival.
Harvest thing, a winter thing, and a fairy thing.
Yeah.
I planted some black tulips.
Yeah.
And then they were all withered by the time I came back in both cases. I really accomplished almost nothing.
I worked pretty hard at trying to be pretty optimal.
You have to stop. You cannot.
Oh yeah, yeah,
look
yeah.
Look at it anymore.
Sure.
Like, seriously, I'm going to fire you if you don't. If okay. I see you playing Facebook again, and I'm friends with you on Facebook, so I can see it.
But what is our next assignment going to be?
Castleville.
So this is a
yeah
a modern. So this is it's Castleville beta. So it's not even fully released yet, but it is like sort of their most up-to-date, most modern.
The most recent thing like this that they have made. This is after they've hired a bunch of game designers.
Yes.
Did they hire some artists?
The art is much more impressive. And it's not, well, impressive isn't the right word. The art is much better. The
it seems as though,
interface
from what I've read, there's
a lot less clunky, and there's a lot more game to it just in the first 5 minutes that I played. So it's, I think it has the potential to be much more interesting. I'm curious. They have an energy system which replenishes every fucking 5 minutes or whatever. Not like, it may not be fully replenished. Like you might just get one more energy unit every 5 minutes or something. But like that pissed me off right away. Cause at least with Farmville, you got to pick
yeah.
the timers. And
well,
with this,
although you had to be logged on all the time to be the first guy to click on your friend's nails.
If you wanted to do that, right? Like that was a level of commitment that you could decide to do. Whereas like you're just going to be wasting energy resources if you let an hour go by. So I'm curious to see what that mechanic is all about. I don't know anything about it. So,
well, we'll find out. And it's going to end up not for any real reason being a 2 week assignment because there's not going to be a show next week.
Yeah.
Cause we're traveling for Thanksgivings.
Yeah.
Hey, but we can talk about that later. Hey, how about some listener questions from the forums?
How about some listener questions from the forums?
Not some forums questions. Fred Levi says, you know, I don't think I've heard Jake Voice's opinion on Skyward Sword. Was his distaste of Twilight Princess a Wii that swinging the Wiimote was basically just pushing a button, or was it having to swing in general? How do you feel about Skyward Sword using Wii Motion Plus for one-to-one sword fighting with the directions you swing being an important part of combat? Have you used Motion Plus before? Wii Sports Resort was fun. No, I don't think I have one.
Yeah,
is that the thing that came with a particular game?
I think you can buy them separately. I think new Wiimotes you buy have them integrated naturally, but
Twilight Princess didn't grab me for any number of reasons. I do really resent being made to swing something around like a douche when it ought to just be pressing a button.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really have to swing it. You can just sort of twitch, but even that is really an extra layer of...
For a thing that you have to do tens of thousands of times over the course of playing a game, like, just make it pushing a goddamn button.
Yahtzee talks about this a lot when he rails against motion controls. You want the game to respond to your thoughts, basically, and it's way quicker and more integrated naturally to you to twitch your finger and to push a button and a thing happens on the screen rather than having to move whole muscle groups.
Okay. So you could play DDR with a button pad.
Yeah.
Right. But the game is designed and much more fun to play on an actual dance pad.
Yeah, but I mean, Twilight Princess was made for the GameCube and they just changed the push a button to swing a sword to swing this Wiimote to swing
okay.
a sword.
So, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not inherently against the notion of like swinging something around to actuate something in the world. Right?
No, as long as there's a reason for it. As long as it's not just equivalent to pressing a button.
Right.
Well,
right?
But I mean, it's always going to be equivalent to pressing a button, given the way that computers are designed. Like, we haven't made a game that, like...
That's not necessarily true, because things that can treat a motion control like a joystick, which is a characteristically different thing than a button.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's there's motion-controlled dancing games that... on whatever the Xbox Kinect that track your full arm movements and stuff and see the position of your skeleton as you're dancing, and that translates into your movement on the screen.
It isn't inherently bad, but it isn't inherently good either.
Sure.
It has to be good on its merits. And
it can
very easily
be used poorly.
I just don't care about Skyward Sword. Like, I don't know anything about it. I would not say that I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Like, I just... I'm
not going to buy hardware to play it.
Yeah, me neither. I bought Spirit Tracks, got to the first train section. I was like, fuck this game.
Is it just a Zelda with airships?
I have no idea
what
it is.
I played all
of
Spirit Tracks, but I... Meh.
Yeah, I know nothing about it, and I that franchise has just kind of lost me. I don't know.
They did say they announced that... At least they announced that they are thinking of making a new, top-down 2D Zelda in the style of Link to the Past, which will be good.
That's cool.
Yeah, I would not mind that.
Yeah.
I mean, even so, like, the last Zelda game that I actually liked was Phantom Hourglass,
mm-hmm.
and I liked it except for fucking the basic moving around the world, which had to be done with a goddamn stylus for no reason.
Yeah.
Like... I was just like this. I'm playing this game in spite of its design.
The Wind Waker?
Wind Waker. Okay. Yeah. I've not played either of those.
Pattern of Farts, which is a great name, says, to all of you, what is your opinion on roguelikes? My love for them was rekindled when I recently found an iOS and Android port of NetHack that is surprisingly unclunky on a touchscreen. Would you consider making NetHack or Slash'em as an assignment? I could see doing NetHack someday.
Sure.
I'd have a hard time, like... Well, I guess in the early assignments, I didn't have a problem doing assignments that I have just played a ton of and that I know that.
Yeah.
But, I really got into Dungeons & Dreadmore for a few days, and I would consider The Binding of Isaac to have enough of the critical elements of a roguelike to be able to call it a roguelike.
I really respect the NetHack devs for anticipating and integrating all the various... unusual combinations of things and circumstances that might occur.
Yeah, and I feel like it's updated just infrequently enough that it doesn't get kitchen sink
open
syndrome.
Open sourcey, though?
It's not. No, it's not. And you can tell because it's good. Somebody called me out. You guys didn't have anything to do with this. A guy calls me out for saying not to give the EFF any money and says that...
I like the EFF. I just chose not to make a stand because wouldn't be very amusing.
Would you argue that the EFF is single-handedly responsible for everything that we do? Because that's the argument that this guy's making.
I wouldn't go that far, no.
Anyway. I get a bad attitude about organizations based on individuals that I meet who are really either involved in or enthusiastic about those organizations, and it makes it really hard for me to... There is an amount of idealism that gets carried along with people who are really enthusiastic about certain things that make it like you can't see that particular forest because of the real shitty trees that are yelling at you about things in it. So I don't actually have anything against the EFF. I just, anytime I see anything about the, like, floss community, I'm just like, ugh. And my revulsion. So, like, also, you know.
Floss.
Yeah, what is floss?
Open source software. Fire bat interface.
Fire leeches open source software.
I forget. I don't even remember what it stands for. Free something open source software.
I see.
I don't know.
Licorice.
Yeah, free licorice. Open source software. I don't know, man.
Lumia. Free Lumia. Free Libet.
It is really hard. It is really hard for me to get behind things that people who are just like actively really mean to me support. And my experience, like, everybody says that this is not the experience that most people have trying to use Linux, but everyone I know who's tried to use Linux has the exact same experience, which is like, all right, so I've installed Linux, here's some shit that doesn't work, you go You're like, oh, well, I hear the community is really supportive of stuff like this. You go to a Linux board and you ask them a question and they just fucking make fun of you until you leave and install Windows because they're fucking pricks in every case. Like, maybe if you had a buddy who was into this stuff who would explain everything to you, you know, but it's like the amount of condescension that you have to deal with to get anywhere in a conversation with anybody who's in this whole scene is aggravating. It, like, the main thing that I use to select the guy that we hired to run our servers, because you know what? Linux, awesome for servers. Apache, awesome for servers. And sure, maybe Apache would have been sued out of existence if it weren't for the EFF, and so I do owe my livelihood to the EFF. But the one property that this guy needed to have in order for me to have him as my server guy was to not be one of these assholes. And I would take a guy who knows less and can fucking talk to me and can say, hey, how do I fix this MySQL thing? Well, clearly you should be using Postgres because Postgres is so much better than MySQL. Okay, you're fired. I'm going to hire a guy who will just fucking answer my questions, like, without acting like I'm not worth talking to unless I understand everything that they understand, which, like, completely defeats the purpose of any kind of discourse or specialization.
Or having that guy on your payroll.
Yeah.
Well, like, everybody knows that MySQL is a database that doesn't have any pants.
Yeah, it doesn't have any pants. And PHP is, it's not web scale. It's not web scale, which is why you should use some flat text file thing. I don't know. Casey Wiederman says, Dear Jick, and I think he means Dear Kevin. Wouldn't have said Zach. He would have said Jick, Kevin. Dear Hot Stuff, yeah. Put a pumpkin in your helmet slot and tell me you still resent the Minecraft Halloween update.
Make the pumpkins in the world pumpkins.
Yep.
And some way to turn them into jack-o'-lanterns, and then you can put them on your head, and that is fine. Do not fucking populate the world with a lot of goddamn jack-o'-lanterns. What the fuck is wrong with them that they put that every fucking pumpkin on the ground is a jack-o'-lantern? Without the lantern. It's just a jack-o.
Oi! It'll surprise you. The new Energizer.
Oh, God, it just drives me crazy. You come across this, like, pumpkin patch, and you're like, oh, it's just a pumpkin patch. Oh, no, on one side, they all have freaky fucking faces.
Are you scared? Do you get scared by the pumpkins?
I do, and it makes me sad.
Our Chicken wrote, Riff mentioned the Super Great Friends Let's Play again last episode, and I wanted to thank him for introducing me to some episodes ago. Introducing me to him some episodes ago. I don't enjoy most LPs, but his are thoughtful, informed, and funny enough I follow him regularly now. I never would have played Deadly Premonitions, but watching it was just great. Yeah. Question, are there any other good Let's Plays you can recommend? I love it when the Let's Play give thoughts on game design or intent, but other ones I've seen give little humor or randomness without much, or give a little humor or randomness without much depth.
Well, I saw that question previously, and gave it some thought. It would take too much of the show for me to give a long list, but if you go to lparchive.com, look for a bunch of LPs made by a team of two guys called Chip Cheesem and General Ironicus. Particularly their Metal Gear Solid 3 Let's Play, which is really awesome because Chip Cheesem knows the game inside and out and backwards and forwards and knows lots of details about the developers and everything, whereas General Ironicus has never played the game before in his life, knows nothing about it, but he's really funny. So they have a really awesome, like, back and forth dynamic going, and it was really entertaining to watch.
I thought you were going to say Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson.
Yeah. Chip Dipson and Dip Dobson's Let's Play.
Oh, that would be great. But yeah, all of their stuff is good, but if you only watch one of them, watch their Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater run.
Casey Wiederman says, Hey, Video Games Hot Dog, what do you think about the building and meeting of anticipations? In the book world, Dan Brown got prissy at the height of his career and held off on publishing his next book for an extra year. It killed his popularity. Maybe if he had released some chapters to his fans, they'd have found it easier to stay interested.
I've never read any of his books, but from what I've heard by all the people whose opinions I respect, it is...
His lack of writing.
it is dumbfounding that he is as popular as he was to begin with.
He is good at writing books that are like page turners, is sort of like
every book is a page turner.
No, it isn't.
Every book is written by Ike Turner. That's what I meant.
Oh, like in the same way that like Farmville sort of has hooks into your psyche to bring you back. Dan Brown like has hooks to bring to sort of keep you invested in the story, but he's just not a good writer. But like I, that's not inherently wrong.
You won't be happy until Dan Brown's body lies a moldering in the grave.
Why do people like bad things?
Well,
I've never read the Da Vinci Code, but my understanding is not that it is bad, just that it is not meritorious.
Good. Yeah, it's like right? comparing it to like Umberto Eco and like Foucault's Pendulum or something like there's a piece of literature on one hand.
It's very similar plot, but one is infinitely better.
Sure. But one is like bubblegum, and sometimes you want to chew a piece of bubblegum, right? Like that's
I mean, okay.
If
I just wanted something to read on a plane, maybe I would take Da Vinci Code over Foucault's Pendulum. But I
digested Da Vinci Code.
If I was actually interested in reading a book
or whatever, and it just went super fast, and it was like, it left kind of a bad taste in my mouth, but I was like, okay, you know.
That's because of your habit of tearing each page out and eating it after you finish each page.
Bubble gum.
Yeah.
Right? Wait. I think I've got metaphor confused with bubble gum again.
Yeah, metaphor. You've got metaphor confused with identity.
Yes.
I don't know, man. Building and meeting of anticipations. He said, on an entirely incidental note, any chance we could have some screenshots of Word Realms? Yeah, it was. We thought that it would light a fire under our asses to have it out there and have people talking about it, but then nobody talked about it. Everybody was like, this stuff looks like it's for dummies. We're like, but it's called Games for Dummies.
Yeah.
Is it playable again? I was kind of wondering if some of all of that... Most of that conversational stuff I wrote is in yet, so that I can have a look and test it.
Parts of it. There are still parts that are not in there. Okay. The game was broken for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's getting back into
the
shape.
The Lone Goldfish says, so I started watching Super Great Friends LP of Deadly Premonition, and I noticed that Officer Thomas looks a lot like an effeminate version of Kevin. So is that like a tall version of the Statue of Liberty? you look a lot like a fat version of Jabba the Hutt.
Dang.
You look a lot... I can't think of any other.
I'm just
going to
let you run this one out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm done. I'm sorry, buddy.
Sure.
Kevin could totally kick my ass. I don't.
I don't think that's true. I think if we had a real fight, it would be
you'd fight dirty. You probably have the look about you of a dick stabber.
Well, I might fight
gouger.
Dirty. Remember when we arm wrestled that one time?
Yeah, it took a really long time.
Yeah. we were eerily evenly matched.
Equal.
And I gave up because I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah. No, you gave up because I won, buddy. Yeah. No, it was everybody else at the bar had a good laugh. Oh, look at those two girls arm wrestling. It's funny. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a listener mail, sticking up for you, how would they do so?
Yeah.
Or the EFF, sticking up for the EFF. How would they send that out?
I recommend Twitter. That's always fun. You can find us at VGHotDog. You could also email vghotdog@gmail.com. You could check out the website, videogameshotdog.com, and find links to our forums there.
Cool. All right. Well, I've had a good time doing this show.
Yeah.
And I can't wait until 2 weeks from now when we bring you another amazing episode of Video
Games. Of Skyrim.
Skyrim, yeah.
Skyrim, yeah.
Have a great week, everyone.
Have a great Skyrim.
Hey guys,
so Zach, what are you playing?
Fuck.
What have you been
Skyrim.
Playing?
Skyrim.
Okay.
Fuck that up.